You're listening to
what up, and welcome to another episode of the Fortnite Podcast. Your host here, Monster D-Face, bringing you guys another big line of events. It's not Tuesday, it's Wednesday. Had to skip a day. I had jury duty. Lucky me, I show up and they canceled on the spot, which allowed me to just transition my whole day around and do a whole bunch of other stuff that I was going to have to do later in the week because my timeline moved. But unfortunately, I still had to push the podcast back. So with that being said, here we are. We're dropping this episode, and we got a lot to talk about because it is the new season vibes right around the corner, just 4 days away. Today is 9/14 for those of you guys listening later. But with that being said, let's introduce the boys here. We got a full house. What's up, Panda?
Yo, man, listen, I'm pumped. This new season coming this weekend, I'm excited. Especially, I got to say, like, I'm more hyped for this next season than I've been for any season launch in Chapter 3 so far. So I'm pretty pumped. Plus, you know, I got a little content strategy for Sunday going, but we'll see. But SBG, what's up, man? Nice to have you back as always.
Hey, what's going on, boys? It's been not too long. Nice to chat once again. We got a lot to cover as always. I feel like these podcast episodes are just jam-packed with stuff to talk about. So I can't wait to get in it with you gentlemen.
Yeah, definitely. We're on the up and up. Fortnite continues to just throw stuff at us. And, you know, we kind of came off the small hiatus, but straight into action. And now, again, picking up some stuff here as we start leaning into new season, which is what we want to start this episode off with. Because for the first time in what feels like a long time for me, we're getting some marketing dollars pumped into this new season. I think that is partly as to why Panda's pretty excited here. This whole Chrome idea, the new season of Chrome, and Fortnite keeps tweeting about it. They're messing with this theme, this idea. I don't really know what it means. I thought we're going to space or something, and the worlds are changing. But who knows? Talk to me about this new season, Panda.
No, so this is a very different season launch that we've seen, or than we've seen in quite some time. We were literally talking about it just beforehand. We were trying to preface, like, when was the last time we saw Fortnite put this much effort forward for a new season launch? And it's been a minute, right? So for those that don't know, Fortnite right now is doing a multi-layered marketing push for the new season called Paradise. Now, normally we don't get a new season name before the new season launches. So this is going to be a huge first for Fortnite, at least outside of leaks, of course. But no, Fortnite officially has told people, hey, it's called Paradise. It's dropping Sunday the 18th. And on top of that, they've spent marketing dollars on TikTok ads, YouTube ads, and influencer marketing, sending out cereal boxes of Llama-O's to creators across the board. So there's a lot going into the season, and usually that means there's a great season ahead. That's why I'm pumped.
And one thing, I had this weird feeling. It's going to be the opposite of Paradise. Like, it's called Paradise, but we're going to get in, and this whole Chrome idea and things getting taken over, the game's just going to look destroyed. That's kind of what I'm feeling like, because if you look at the banners, the themes, the hand, like, it just looks like everything's in anguish. Like, they are trying to escape the Chrome, but clearly it's going to take over.
And we are also going into the typical Fort Nightmares period. It's about to be next month. So, you know, typically it's a little darker going into this season, this time of the year. And then we'll heat it up towards Christmas, you know, get a little lighthearted. But I'm with you on that one, Monster. I like that.
It's like, why name it Paradise? Give it out early. You don't really see them do that very often. And we're coming off the summer, so like, we kind of had a paradise theme always in the summer with the palm trees and the positive feels and vibes. So I'm really thinking they're doing a little play on words, a little trickery here for us. And like I said, the fact that we see these graphics and the image, the banners that they're responding everyone to, with the hand coming out the water. And you can kind of, Panda made a great point out of this. He kind of can tell what skins are coming out just off the hands. That's how you know this man's a real Fortnite gamer, by the way. Feel free to drop that on the people who you think the battle pass essentially is going to feature.
All right. So listen, if you want to avoid leaks ahead of the new season, close your ears.
Skip like 60 seconds ahead.
Yeah, 60 seconds, go. So, number one, we're going to have the Paradigm skin. It's one of the seven, which rumor has it that it could be voiced by Brie Larson. We'll see how that goes. Number two skin is like an emo Meowskulls. That honestly, it looks kind of dope. I'm not gonna lie. Number three, we have Spider Gwen from Into the Spider Verse, which, if you don't know, the sequel to that is coming out here in the next few months. On top of that, there is another skin that has a chrome hand, and this one's a little bit hard to describe. It's like a pink and or not pink, purple and black outfit with chrome hands. And it's very unique. It's an individual skin. It's not something we've seen in the past. So it kind of has its own personality, and that's the best way to describe it. But I can imagine that these four skins, they are all Battle Pass outfits.
Yeah, you talked about hinting at a skin that might be coming out that could be related to a movie that's not quite out yet. So that could be like the final secret tier. You know, they've really been adding in that late layer. So we probably see like a dark silhouette. People are going to guess who it is, but... definitely cool that they're giving us stuff already. And like you said, the fact that they're merging this with the influencer marketing world really does take me back to, shoot, I don't know when that last chapter was when we were doing the whole desert theme and we had the, you know, back when Tilted was the Cowboy Zone, when No Build was first introduced to the game.
That was Season X, right?
I feel like it was Season X, man. And honestly, that was leading into or coming out of the Fort Nightmares era as well, like around that same time. So it really does feel like they're pulling that same page back out. It was successful then, it's probably going to be successful now, and instead they're doing obviously a more updated theme and version of it. But yeah, like influencer marketing is very, very interesting. Sending creators packages and allowing that organic hype to start circulating is definitely something Fortnite does well. And I mean, I feel like they really have been capitalizing. People are looking forward to the kickoff. And this is, of course, all bringing more and more eyes on the Fortnite game, which is leading up to the big FNCS Invitational. So it kind of ties in, right? Like, the Fortnite's regular game and theme season success becomes everyone's success if more people are focused on the game.
Man, it seems to be doing very well from what the posts that I've seen from like the Llama-O's. Everyone's like, oh, what's going on? What's in the Llama-O's? Right. Is there any like secret piece there? You know, you open a box and there's stuff written on the inside. Maybe, who knows? That would be interesting. And then there's a lot of pieces to this new season that, like you guys mentioned, we haven't necessarily seen this much effort put into. So I'm excited. Me, as a Lord of the Rings nerd, really hoping Lord of the Rings gets involved here. We just had a show put out alongside, seen it teased. I don't know. That's my hope. Panda, you didn't mention any four of the Lord of the Rings characters from those four skins, so a little upset, but I'll have to wait and see.
I did see, like, on one of the Fortnite leakers that there was a piece of the map. I think it was a sandcastle built, but it was built in the... literal like style or like the what would be a visual demographic of a Lord of the Rings reference in the game. So there was, I wish I could pull back and remember more about it. I'm not as much of a fan as you, unfortunately, and sorry listeners if you are a big fan. But yeah, there was literally a Lord of the Rings reference in game, which was crazy. And someone was like, hey, look, yeah, this sandcastle and the way it's built, this is the XYZ name place of Lord of the Rings. That's really cool. And people were stoked about that. So definitely a cool one. Could be a possibility. I don't know how, yeah, like who owns Lord of the Rings? Like who sits at the top? Is it Disney? Do we know? In some way, or form?
Amazon Prime owns the show, but they don't own the rights to the original series. That is still owned by the Tolkien family.
Okay.
I don't believe those rights have been given up. They can only do... essentially new things with the series.
My point being is like Disney owns the world and, you know, the Marvel and Star Wars and whatever. Like if it was a part of that lineage of things they own, they clearly have the money to go buy the licensing though. So it's not off the table for anyone to go ahead and buy, like you said, the rights to try stuff and build things. Kind of reminds me of how Game of Thrones has their own spinoffs and things happening now. What's up, Panda?
So just a little side note, it looks like Lord of the Rings last month sold the rights to a new owner. The Swedish game conglomerate Embracer Group.
Interesting.
Have bought the ownership rights to Lord of the Rings theme park, game, and merch.
Now we got to see if they own a piece of Epic in some weird way. Like, It turns out this Swedish company owns Tencent and Tencent owns 20% of it. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, you never really know, but neither here nor there. Guys, a new season is here. It's called Paradise. I don't think it's going to be a paradise at all. We have this Chrome stuff happening. We got Fort Nightmares potentially around the corner. But all that we do know, in just about a couple days, you will be able to get your hands on it. So it's going to be fun. Prepare for the typical servers breaking, can't get into game, all that good stuff. Be patient. I'm sure you'll be able to try it out. Other cool stuff happening in Fortnite as we kind of jump onto the other stuff here. Cypher PK finally gets a skin, by the way. The latest addition to the Icon series. Shout out to him, dude. Like, I feel like as far as the creators go, long time coming. He's been putting in a lot of work for a long time.
Honestly, overdue.
Mm-hmm.
I think if anybody deserved one sooner, it was Cypher. But I will say this. In my opinion, these newer Icon skins are way better than the older ones,
of
right?
Course.
So, like, true. Ninja was, like, the intro to it, right? And it was cool, don't get me wrong, especially for the time. But, like, when you look at, Patrick Mahomes, you look at Chica, like, they have elements to the outfit that is very unique to them, especially, like, Ali A, right, had, like, 8 different variants to his outfit. Now, here's Cypher PK, and the way that him, the Fortnite community managers, his wife are hyping this up, this could be the coolest Icon series skin to date. So I'm pumped for Saturday.
And I'm curious to know, normally the season ends with an event, which would be Saturday. Is Cypher going to be part of the lore of Fortnite and, like, forever be enshrined within Fortnite? As soon as I saw that date, I was like, this is the day before. This is when the event normally happens. Is this man literally going to be John Fortnite doing some crazy stuff in the game? I mean, if anyone deserves it, it's him, because of, like, daily Fortnite videos, essentially streaming Fortnite for 5 straight years. Like, respect to the dude. And they, like Panda said, they're hyping it up beyond belief.
And what's wild about that, he literally puts so much effort into whatever it takes to be there for the entire, like, what he did for the Black Hole event is all you need to know. Sat there, did a marathon stream. We'll just call it that. Many, many hours sitting in front of the Black Hole. So it's almost like he was already a part of the event. Now you're making me think that you might be onto something, like your intuition kicking in right here. It could be absolutely spot on. It wouldn't feel out of the ordinary to see him be a part, like, literally of the event, because, well, we know he's going to be at home watching anyways. So, like, that's kind of crazy. I can see him maybe being in the universe and then, like, sucked into the computer, but then he gets, like, spit out at home, and that's kind of, like, you know, like, a small part. Not a huge part, but a small part. What was the last one? Last one, obviously, the last biggest appearance we saw, Dwayne the Founder Johnson was in the game somewhere. Obviously, his likeliness, The Rock, you can see him in the game, which is kind of crazy. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Panda?
So, I would love to see an actual event with Cypher involved, but I haven't seen any word of an event coming for the end of the year or the end of the season.
We
could have on Sunday part of the trailer or part of something could incorporate Cypher into that storyline, but a live event, I don't know. I just don't see it. But the reveal is going to be massive, and then it'll be in the game shortly after season 4 drops. And I think that's what they're going for. That's their angle, is that they want to have this outfit ready to go, revealed, and it's part of the hype of the new season. So not only are you hyped as a general Fortnite player for season 4, you're also now hyped and stay a little bit more connected because Cypher, one of the few consistent creators to get this Icon series skin. Like, Ninja, He literally left for Valorant and then came back and got his outfit.
Right.
And same thing applies to a lot of these creators. Even Chica was not playing Fortnite as much. So I love that Cypher is finally getting this, and I hope it is everything that he's dreaming for.
And Cypher right now is the biggest Fortnite YouTuber. So he's going to be hyping up his new skin right before the season comes. So this is like a win-win for both Cypher and Epic, where he's going to be talking a ton about the skin, but also going to be bringing new people in for the season and telling them to go buy his skin with his code, so he's making a ton. And then Epic's like, yes, give me all these YouTube eyes that Cypher's bringing in. Like, go buy the Battle Pass yourself. Brilliant. It just seems like a great idea.
I think that's what's going to happen. He's going to be on the Crew Pass for the month or something like that. Because if you get the Crew Pass, you get the Battle Pass. And then, of course, they get the hard cash of your additional subscription and things like that. It just, the timing, like you said, it's kind of crazy for them to put such a big icon series thing the day before an event when they need to sell battle passes or want to sell battle passes. Let's just put it that way. And we all know they make hundreds of millions of dollars in just a few days. Remember what they did with the Ukrainian efforts. And that wasn't even being marketed the way this stuff is. So this is going to be big. It's going to be hype. I can see him maybe not in the battle pass, but maybe in the battle pass, but more so maybe on that crew pass. That crew pass is sick. So they always like to throw additionals on there. Who else do we think needs an icon skin? You think Tifu? That's crazy.
Okay, but
I'm thinking Nick A30 though. Like, he's got the branding. Like, I can think of 100 different ways we could do Nick A30 in the game.
I think that's already happening. Based on the way that Cypher was talking about it with his outfit, it took over a year, right? So I bet you Nick A30 is in the works. One that I don't think is in the works and probably does deserve one is Typical Gamer. I put out a tweet asking who people thought they would love to see as an icon series skin. And even more than Nick A30, I got Typical Gamer.
Can I just say something? So, you have a biased West following.
Okay, like, but at the same time, the man deserves a little bit of props.
As a Fortnite streamer, I asked everyone what was better, Call of Duty or Fortnite. And let me tell you, man, Call of Duty sucks. Everyone voted Fortnite.
Facts. Boo. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Panda has the most ultimate bias large following of any creator on West. So, of course, they want Typical Gamer.
Hey, listen. Give the people what they want, man. West didn't have a broadcast, so now they deserve a Typical Gamer outfit. That's all I'm saying.
That would be sick.
Or a Tifu skin. All I'm saying.
You already have that as default.
Not Jones, the icon skin.
Okay, make it icon Jonesy skin. You know, there you go. Tifu, that's Tifu.
Tifu's not the person who he used to be on socials. You know? I feel like in the past, and we could date back a lot of episodes long before you guys jumped on, dude, we were pulling Tifu tweets because he would say some crazy stuff and he was too influential at the time. And he had no regard, no care for the stuff he was putting out there. But he hasn't really been in the center of drama, which is pretty cool to think about because, we don't give people their credit and their flowers when they're chilling. You know, we only pick on them when they're doing something dumb. So shout out to Tifu. Really, just kind of keeping a low profile, doing his thing, enjoying Fortnite, man. You'd love to see it. And he's been a much, much, much greater interviewee. I don't know what the word is, but a person to interview on the Twitch Rivals stage. It's just pretty cool, man. He's really changed lately. I guess he's taken maybe streaming a little more seriously.
Yeah, and to add to that, I mean, he hasn't been in the Fortnite ecosystem until mid this year, right? Now that he's back with Zero Build, I think he came back in April, May, and that's now his consistent game. So, I mean, if Fortnite were to ever approach him about it, it'd probably be now.
Mm.
So it could be something we see in a year's time. But on the flip side, I don't know that Tifu would even take it. Tifu's the type of person, you say what, but Tifu is the type of person to turn down money and opportunity because it doesn't fit what he wants to do in that moment.
Nah, he'll take it. It's Fortnite.
Bro, he's been playing this game. Like, he would be the second competitive player that I would be considered. Tifu, at one point, was one of the top players in this game. And to have him in here, he's now one of the top Zero Build players in this game. So, would love to see that.
Yeah, but a little side note there, somebody, I forgot which creator it was in a YouTube video, talked about the icon, their icon skin. It was either Allie or Chica. Maybe it was somebody else. But anyway, when they talked about it, they didn't talk about it like they were making millions of dollars off their icon skin, right? It was more about pushing their code to it. So I don't know if that has
you,
an element.
You don't get paid. You don't get paid to be an icon in the game. You definitely make some kind of affiliate revenue via the sales, of course. And those sales being how your code indirectly gets promoted.
Yeah.
Like, that has to be the truth of it. There's so much to gain by being immortalized in a game like Fortnite with the reach they have. That's why it's incredibly cool to get that opportunity, and that's why I don't think Tfue would ever turn that down. I'd be way too sick. He's already a legend, you know, in the Fortnite space and esports as a whole. That would just, again, it's like put him on that ninja status, you know, help transcend him beyond gaming. That could be the difference, to literally transcend him beyond gaming, because he's, I don't know, I don't want to say he's there, but he's kind of there. You know, if there's anyone close to Tfue or close to Ninja in that regard, it's probably Tfue. He's pretty darn close to that global recognition, no doubt.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I think, I don't know, Tfue, if you're listening, man, hop on. Tell us if you would accept an Icon Series outfit. The Fortnite podcast is always welcome to you. Hop in here. But no, I think another creator that I wouldn't be surprised if they got one, and they probably already in conversation for it, would be Courage JD.
That's interesting. But I don't see him being loyal enough to the game and having that icon figure status the way Tfue or Ninja. I would see more like Nick Merckx. Remember, you got to think about the branding too, like the brand and the package, that cult following, the community. Maybe True. Like a Nick Merckx would be crazy. And he comes to compete, and he's always positive. He's not a trash talker. He doesn't really, you know what I mean? He just kind of does his own thing. He stays in his own lane. Yes, he's, you know, he's hard-headed. He'll stand on what he believes, that's for sure. But, you know, other than that, he's a pretty stand-up guy. I could see Nick Merckx potentially one day. And you've already seen kind of how people were jabbing at, what was it, the Mahone skin? Because the kind of the gladiator theme. They're like, nah, dude, that's Nick Merckx's logo. So maybe he lost his shot because of that, but
You know what I was thinking when that first came out? I never brought it to the podcast, but when that first came out, I was like, I wonder if that was originally like a scrapped Nick Merckx skin. And they're like, how do we use this? Oh, let's just throw it on Patrick Mahomes.
Like, hey, I wouldn't doubt that either, man. That's good art. That's a dope skin. it looks fire. Well, anyways, guys, new season coming out. CypherPK got a skin in the game. Congrats to Hitman. And realistically, becoming an icon in the game, like I said, you become immortalized in Fortnite, basically. So now he will be like the Travis Scott guy, the guy from Fortnite, you know? So that's just kind of how it is. It's a blessing and a curse. Talking about jumping on some other things, we're going to start transitioning here into more of what some of y'all tune in for, some of that Fortnite drama. For those of you guys that don't care to play the game, buy skins, or any of that good stuff, you just tune in to keep up with what's going on in the space as at whole. We had some crazy developments this last week. And when I say developments, I mean that in like a positive and an interesting way. The positives being, hey, we got Fortnite to come out and speak up on an issue that was happening or could have been happening in the space. And very, very seldomly, rarely, if you will, this is a rare occurrence for official Fortnite competitive account to put their perspective on something. And this is what happened this weekend. So I'm going to let somebody's gun take the floor here and kind of break down what all went down with these accusations against Epic.
Well, so to talk about what you said first, I believe this is the first time ever that we have seen Fortnite competitive respond to a cheating accusation on Twitter. They've posted blog posts and mentioned things, but let's talk about what they said, and we'll talk about why they decided to say that, or why we think they said that. So they responded to a post from Cat Gamer, and their tweet, "These claims are unequivocally false. We take any claim of unethical behavior seriously and investigated these allegations internally with our threat analytics and competitive team. We fully stand behind the hard work of our teams to ensure the competitive integrity for our players." So essentially they're saying none of this is true. Before we get into any of this, that is what they're saying.
And that's what I want you to kind of explain to us. What is the accusations? That's kind of, again, for the listeners tuning in, that was the response FN Competitive posted on the what would be the Google Doc, the exposing message that was coming out of someone called Cat Gamer on Twitter. So what are the accusations that this person and others were making against Epic?
So, Cat Gamer put together a Google Doc that is 63 pages long.
Wow.
I didn't even know that. I kid you not, I didn't open it, by the way. I was just like, yeah, not reading that. But, you know, what's that, the meme tweet? Congrats or sorry if that happened?
Yeah, congrats or sorry.
That's how I felt. I was like, yeah, dude, that.
I ain't reading that. But I did read it. I was curious because, you know, normally you see this. So what happened was Cat Gamer is a tweaker. He goes on people's PCs, changes settings. I don't know. I'm not a computer guy. Essentially optimizes stuff to perform better. I've seen good and bad things said against him, so not going to be here to judge against his character. But so we have a bunch of screenshots taken from this person's PC. His name is Renzi. So Renzi is a Noble Scrims admin. He has connections or contacts. I shouldn't say connections. He's contacts with Epic Games employees, specifically Stevie T. And according to Cat Gamer's slant and post of this, he says that Renzi and Stevie T have been abusing their powers to ban or unban people at the request of pros. And on top of this, Renzi is taking money to get contacts with Epic Games in order to ban or unban pros. And there's a few pros mentioned, although I don't think their names necessarily deserve to be dragged through the mud because I had my own contact with Renzi as this happened. He was willing to share all the DMs, said that they were changed, and even if you're looking at the pictures of it, it looks like a weird way to, like, it doesn't look like Discord DMs, which I don't understand. It from right at the face level, it looks suspect. The only thing that doesn't look suspect are the art skill DMs that are at the front of this, so clearly they're positioned to go at the front, and then the rest of them looked strange, which Renzi said, yes, I did ask him for money. It was only a joke. I never actually received money, and then I had other people backing up those claims that he never received money. So what really happened is it seems like someone went through someone else's DMs out of context, changed them to be positioned in a way that made Renzi look bad. Stevie T got caught in the crossfire because what happened was Renzi was supposed to be using Cat Gamer to tweak his PC. Renzi said, no, your tweaks did nothing for me. I'm not paying you. You didn't do anything. And then Cat Gamer was like, nah, I'm going to drag your name through the mud, steal stuff off your PC. And then this dispute between two people became a massive public issue. And I don't think anything really happened between these two just going back and forth.
And before I throw this to Monster, I just want to say I've worked with and had several conversations with Stevie T. He is a humble, hardworking family man. So for this guy to get caught in the crossfire, like, he's the least problematic employee person that I've ever interacted with, not just at Epic, but in general. Like, he literally is one of the kindest people. So for him to unfortunately get caught in this is so unfortunate for him. But I think that, like, fortunately, this reaction, this response is overall what we needed to see. And this is now the second time we've gotten a response to controversy from Fortnite in the last, like, month and a half. Because the first one was that Twitch Rivals one where the adult actress, she said she wasn't allowed to do something because she was an adult actress in Fortnite. On the main Fortnite Twitter, responded was saying, no, you could play. We just asked that you remove anything from your background. Like, and so I don't know. Look, yeah, it's a good sign, though.
And that one was just wild, too. Like, that whole thing. I forgot that even happened. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we probably weren't making episodes when that one happened. But, yeah, that happened, guys. Yeah. So, very interesting stuff. To kind of jump back on this conversation here, to give you guys a little more context, Stevie T is the senior community manager at Epic Games. That's like his forward-facing title. What does that mean? He does a lot of communication stuff for the comp scene behind the scenes, right? And that just can entail sometimes you reach out to him and say things like, hey, is this against terms of service? You know, can I do this? You know, am I able to participate in this event? Is this a sanctioned event? You know, things like that, like small stuff like that people can take for granted. But that little bit of transparency, someone has to do it. So unfortunately, this time around, it was, like you mentioned, Stevie's name in those DMs. And let's talk about this. If you have a PC tweaker entering into your PC that you don't know about, this is a clear example of how easy this person was able to, without this other guy knowing, download all of their files on their PC. That means access to your Google passwords, which has access to all of your passwords. And that can lead to tons of critical information and things like that. So yeah, don't let people into your computer. They can easily install something malicious or leave a back door open on your IP that allows them to quite literally access your interface while you're online, and they can see what you're doing. It's not that hard, especially when you grant someone access. So with that being said, little 101, don't let randoms from the internet into your computer. Don't believe people that can speed up your hardware and stuff like that with their little tricks. If your PC is slow, reinstall and download Windows. Start it from scratch. It should fix your issues. And if that doesn't, your PC sucks. Upgrade some parts on it. That's just the truth of it, right? It has to be the truth of it.
And I want to mention something, because one of the pieces that kind of slid under the radar in this whole thing is that Cat Gamer was essentially claiming that these pros were paying someone to get banned or unbanned, which, I mean, that is extremely detrimental if any of that was true. Based on what I've seen, that was not true. Renzi jokingly, he admitted this to me, jokingly admitted that he was asking people for money but never accepted anything. Now, take that at face value. I can't prove or disprove whether he actually accepted money. But all he was really doing is kind of something that I would assume a few people with Epic Games contacts, if there's a blatant stream or cheater, hey, just look at this. They look like a blatant cheater. They probably shouldn't be playing tournaments. And that seems like what Renzi was doing, is just sliding them info like, hey, this person was cheating. And there's also another piece that Renzi and Cat Gamer kind of have some background before any of this. Apparently, Renzi was the person that flagged Jamshood, who wound up getting banned in the past. And allegedly, Jamshood is a friend of Cat Gamer. So there was some previous interactions that also led to this explosion. That just is what it is. And it really just drove people through the mud.
It's someone trying to be a community, figure, right? He's trying to do good by supporting the space and all that good stuff. You know, there's a lot of people that are like the justice warriors of the space, right? Whether you want it or not, someone's going to pick up the torch and they're going to fight for you and for the people and for what they believe is just, especially when folks are cheating and they're losing cash opportunities to make the finals and things like that. So I actually just kind of glanced through it. And yeah, I saw very clearly that there were certain posts that were like, hey, when is 51st getting banned, right? And he's directly asking people, trying to get that information, which is very interesting. And that's one of the reasons that I'm close, clearly, with the Epic infrastructure. I really try not to, overstep that relationship, that boundary, if you will. I've had instances of, I'll use one of the more recent ones, Baxity reaches out to me, and he asks me something along the lines of, dude, I want drops enabled. I missed the sign-up period. I do viewing parties every season. Man, is there any way to get that enabled? And then, I'm like, yeah, sure. Let me, I could just shoot a message to Hogman or something like that. Let me just ask if he could pull that string for you, because you're someone who deserves it. You're a stand-up person. But I really, really, really try not to be the guy in the middle. I'll just be like, hey man, I'm just a commentator. I don't work for Epic, dude. This is the clear reason why those DMs can lead to something taken way out of context. Imagine if hypothetically he reached out to me, asked me a question, and I responded in a particular way that felt like it could lead to something else. Dude, all of a sudden you got, other people in this mess. And that's really why, if you're an influencer, you got to be careful with, just how you work with people that you've never worked with before. This is a very, very, very great example of something that could have been much more messier, but I'm happy it's been resolved, right? And although some people don't agree with FN Competitive jumping on their social handle and responding to it, I think it was a great move. I think it was a stand-up move from them. Really just nip it before a rumor starts or, you know, anyone starts thinking, because we kind of had that issue, I feel like, with the whole Zen product, right? This product that you could put on your controller and it gives you enhancements on the game. And to this day, some people claim it works, some people don't, but Epic turned a blind eye to it. And now if you do well and you're a controller player, all of a sudden you're cheating. But it's because they never really addressed it. Like, how long did it take for them to address double movement keybinds and things like that? Software being enabled, or peripherals having enabled, you know, double movement keys essentially to help give you a little bit of an advantage. We still don't know quite the clear answer there, right? And it just becomes more of a rumor than anything else. So this could have been a really nasty rumor that was in our space, you know, and then you just never know when someone gets banned or unbanned. You got this kind of thing there. So I'm happy it got addressed.
I am too. And it didn't take them long. It was like 3 or 4 hours. They had an investigation done and a response. Like, it's not easy for a large company to be able to turn around a response like that. So they took it very seriously and responded accordingly. And that's what I love to see. I'm so happy this is the direction that they're going in. So they don't just let like community rumors blatantly run over them, when in reality, it's not actually the case.
And come on, man, it was 6 o'clock on a Saturday. Like, are we really going to be making these guys scramble? Because I'm sure like Stevie T had the day off and was like, all right, cool, I get to hang out with my family. And then this happens and you're going to throw this guy under the bus and he has to deal with this on a Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Are we kidding? Come on, let's be better than that.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one thing we didn't even talk about. Just the human nature of like, hello, if Epic has to escalate this to the point of which I think they had to, you know, go through some files, really look at, hey, well, if you didn't do this, we got to see Discord, open it up, right? Like, you know, that kind of level of just sanity check, if you will, regardless if it's a trust thing or not. Like, you know, when this is a serious accusation, it's someone's job to go ahead and make sure unbiasedly, hey, we clear ourselves as a company, we protect ourselves. And like you said, you just have a guy who's just trying to enjoy his weekend, which should have been a pretty smooth weekend, turn into what was probably like a red alert situation, and, you know, essentially dragged out to his desk, or maybe the office if that had to be done. So, definitely was a crazy week just with that topic alone. We can really sit on this and dissect it, but we're gonna leave that one there, man. These gamers and Fortnite never cease to amaze us with the wild stuff they end up in, and this is one of the crazy ones. And talk about just Fortnite gamers getting in some stupid situations. Clix gets banned and then takes to social media, not happy about his ban. Any of you guys want to do the thing on this one? Okay, cool. Go ahead, Panda.
Yeah, I made a full TikTok on it. I already looked
That's
into it. So look,
hilarious.
This man. Clix. All right. So he has been going more of a variety route as of recently, right? He's brought on Andrew Tate to his stream. He's played a lot of GTA RP. He's done like E-Date streams. It's not just specifically Fortnite. Despite him, to be fair, still putting up great performances with Duke in a recent Cash Cup where he came second, 1 point off first. Just a little note, nod to him, right? So he goes on GTA RP. And naturally, as Clix does some, not necessarily like wild stuff, but makes two characters do something they probably shouldn't be doing in game. And the opposing person, as well as him a little bit, made some noises that probably shouldn't have been made when said actions were being taken by the characters within the game. Now, he gets banned for 7 days. A lot of speculation came out initially. People were saying, oh, Paper was on a stream. Paper's a banned Twitch streamer. This caused the ban, which wasn't the case. And then finally it came out from Clix that it was, in fact, because of the issue with the GTA RP clip. And I saw the clip. I don't think it's super crazy, but obviously you can see where Twitch is coming from to ban it. But now he has this argument, right? And this argument is, I did this virtually in a game with clothes on and it was fake. And it wasn't even like that actual action was taking place in the game. somebody did it live on stream and they were banned for 7 days. Why do I have to be treated the same way?
Yeah, and if you are still lost in the sauce here and you haven't quite put together the pieces, we're talking adult explicit content here. So, and again, explicit. Let's just put it like that. Because, again, what Clix did was in the game. It was stupid. Three dudes in the bathroom, and they were just acting dumb on stream for laughs. And that literally led to what was going to be a 7-day ban. But then you have this female streamer who was under the influence of alcohol, intoxicated, possibly more than that. And she did an adult explicit full-on act live on Twitch knowingly. And she also got 7 days of ban. And that is where Clix is like, dude, there is no way you're comparing me apples to apples with this woman who did this in real life. And I was joking in a game, and it wasn't like he took it that far. So I think Twitch is walling on the island over here. Like, seriously, walling out, banning people for that long of a period. Like, just give them a warning. And let's be honest, a warning telling someone not to do that kind of stuff in the game is more than enough. They're just literally like, oh, bet. Like, all right, cool. So, my bad, right? Hands up in the air, cool. Like, You don't ban someone for that, right? You give them a warning, a very stern warning. I think it would be heard loud and clear. It just makes sense.
So I'm not a big fan of Twitch as is. I think they make questionable decisions. But this is also the second time that Clix has been now banned for explicit content, right? Mm-hmm. There was that one time he got banned a couple of days or a few days for putting up, I think it was a picture of Ron's butt.
On accident, because someone DM'd it to him, and he, again, super silly stuff. A friend DM'd him while he was browsing Twitter. He opened it live, and it was just a photo of his friend's ass. You know, again, jokingly, that person thought it was a funny thing to do. It was actually so stupid, and yes, it resulted in Clix getting a ban.
But like this time, you can't, like, you can complain about the length of the ban,
right?
But if you're going to simulate something on stream that you know should not be on stream, come on,
know better.
Like,
yes,
yeah, you can't blame Twitch now. I mean, you can blame Twitch for the way they've handled other things, right? Like the example you just gave. But I mean, here it just seems like they're trying to somewhat like hold their rules and standards in certain places, but not others.
And again, so the punishment is, it's about the severity of the punishment. A week ban for an influencer, if you don't know, is a pretty big deal. You are effectively, and think of this as a shop, a store, a restaurant, whatever, a place of service for your products to be purchased. Your store is closed for 7 days. No revenue, no nothing. You're out. And not only that, people will find a new place to go buy the food because they need to eat. And that's how that works. You literally lose customers. And that's a quick analogy of how streaming works. But when you're not there, your store's closed. And if you're gone for a whole week, well, guess what? The folks got to be entertained. They will go elsewhere. And it really does, more often than not, do irreparable damage to a channel to disappear. A good person whom I feel so bad for, who's going through what will be probably a tough time when he returns to streaming, it's my boy Sancho West. He unfortunately had more like life stuff happen to him. He's, you know, got sick and he's dealing with some stuff, and he hasn't been able to stream for almost 2 weeks. What's going to happen to all that momentum he built up? It's going to go back so many steps. You don't have to work extremely hard to make up for those, you know, that deficit of time loss. And that's just, again, a mid-sized creator versus a large creator. So you take the magnitude of what, you know, the difference, and it's going to hurt. No matter what streamer it is, because being gone is the fastest way to, you know, lose your audience essentially.
Yeah, it definitely is. And in Sancho's case, like he's been blowing up more and more, right? He's been very big on the side of like hosting and casting and stuff. Now he, as a creator, his product has been just elevated through the roof over the last few months. So for him to take that time off, it's huge.
And
it is massive.
His TikTok was taken off. He had a lot of stuff going for him. He literally has so much great momentum. And then again, this is just that super unfortunate circumstance where life just comes at you fast and you got to deal with it. So he's rolling with the punches right now. But I say that to say that no one wants to have their stream down for, you know, a couple days if you're a full-time influencer, let alone a week or more. Like, that is, that's a lot of time. So Click's getting banned here. I think the punishment on Twitch's end, for sure, questionable, dude. Unwarranted, little strict, a little too much. And then
they
reverted, but they only reverted because Clicks has such a massive fan base, and they look dumb. They were wearing the clown hats, and they realized it, so they gave him a 3-day ban, which he's happy about. So less days out. And just to kind of talk on the trend of Twitch as a platform as a whole, it's becoming more and more just littered with explicit content. I mean, don't get us started on the certain sections on Twitch that involve in real life, just activities, if you will, painting. Body painting, hot tub streams. People are setting up full-on fake hot tubs in their bedrooms with all this electricity and lights, and they're just basically just trying to stay naked on Twitch for as long as they can. And that can't even be good for your hands and toes that are being engulfed in water all day. I don't even want to know what they're going to look like in 5 years. But it can't be good for you physically and for your health. But neither here nor there, that stuff happened. And then just, again, another thing that Twitch has kind of done in recent times, they removed Ninja's partner badge because Ninja has decided that he wants to stream on multiple platforms. What do we think about Twitch not supporting this and instead removing his partner badge? Like, do you gain from that, Twitch? Right? No money for you. Hello?
In order to be a partner, you need to sign the partner contract. So unless they
it's a two-way street.
Yeah, unless they offer him a different contract and they offer other partners, he would not technically be allowed to stream on multiple platforms. So I think, based on what I saw, Ninja signed with Twitch September 10th last year. So it makes sense that it was a year-long deal that ended. He either didn't get the offer that he wanted, or he got an offer from somebody else, or just decided, you know what, this is the best case scenario. I'm putting myself everywhere, which, you know, if you follow Devin Nash, that's a big thing. He always talks about the multi-streaming, and now to see Ninja be the first one to throw it all over the place, I'm interested to see, like, long-term how this works out for him.
I want speculations first, though, Panda. What do you... Because I think that was a great... I think that was a great point that the contract ended. Let's just say that's a speculation here, right? What do you think was more likely? He got an offer he didn't like, or he rebutted with, hey, I want to do it this way, and they said no? Like, what do you think that timeline looked like?
So, he was ready. What if I told you I had a little insight that he said something that he shouldn't have on stream, and I just happened to be in his stream when he said it?
No way. Where's okay, so you got the deleted VOD. Something happened. All right, let's hear it.
Trust me. I clipped it too and downloaded it because I was going to use it for a TikTok, right?
Insane.
And my editor goes to click on the clip, and the clip has been deleted since, but I still downloaded the clip. I just want to say. Okay. But anyway, so he, now as far as like his deal with Twitch, I assume this is not something he mentioned. I assume that they came to him with something and it either wasn't enough or he felt like there's more value in multi-streaming because he's able to leverage viewership across every single platform and leverage that into sponsorship money, which sponsorship money a lot of times is bigger anyway. So that's number one. Number two, what I heard on stream, he has a special call that was yesterday as we're recording this here today on the 14th of September. Yesterday, he had a special call with TikTok, and that call may or may not result in him being back to a one-track streamer again. So we'll see what happens as far as that goes. But if that's any indication, that's not only the indication of where Ninja might go, but where streaming and TikTok may take streaming too.
Oof, that would be crazy. And also, they deleted you clipping him saying he had that call.
Yes.
Hey, yo, that is that's kind of crazy. That's definitely, why would you do that? Right? Like, why would you do that?
He also leaked that he was flying to California for a Call of Duty event or some kind of event this weekend.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I shouldn't have said that either.
It's a TikTok meeting. He tried to cover it up. He's lying. He's meeting with the execs right now as we speak. Well, that'd be cool. Man, but here's the thing. I feel like what he's doing right now really changes the space as a whole. And he moves the boulder forwards because this is a big rock this man's trying to push right now. Because firms, companies, you know, these formal institutions, they're going to stand on trying to keep everyone on their platform. The only way this entire industry changes is if a multi-millionaire, kajillionaire like Ninja is like, dude, I don't need an extra 2 mil for my subs every year. You know, that's me being generous. I put 50,000 subs times 12 months plus $4. So I did the math, 2.4 million. It's him saying, dude, what's 2 million to me, right? I don't need money anymore at this point in my life. I'm going to make this accessible to everyone. If all the top dogs just gave that little bit up to open up this platform the way they want, like this, like change the industry, I mean, we're talking about real global shift in the way these businesses have to find routes to be successful and appealing to others. It becomes kind of takes us back to like focus on the product, right? Product first so you can succeed.
So what do you guys think? Like, why did he do this? I'm curious about the why, because we could talk about like why he's not just on Twitch anymore or a singular platform, but why do the multi-stream?
I mean, like, look at it. If he was averaging 15K Twitch viewers, right, before, and then he streams everywhere, look at his average now. It literally tripled. You have 15K on TikTok. You have another 10K on YouTube. You have several thousand on Instagram. You add that all up. Facebook Gaming even had, I think, like 8,000 or something like that, 4 or 8,000. I forgot what it was, but you average all that up. You are, I mean, he knows the game. He knows influence is everything. And you are now five times more influential because you open up to five more platforms, right? Yeah. He's averaging almost the same views. The question is, why not for someone like him, right? That ad deal comes in. You're already getting paid $1 million to play this game for, let's just say, a couple hours off of your one platform of views. What happens when you say, yo, that's five times now? That's a $5 million deal now, right? Or at least in some version of the value because you're getting those numbers out there.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, I'm just curious as to, like, one of you guys, I think it was Panda, touched on it, like sponsorships too. You can sell those and leverage those more than worrying about, like, $2.50, $3 per sub on Twitch or member on YouTube. That is probably why, like, that's my thought, is he just can exponentially increase the number of eyeballs on him, which exponentially increases his worth as a potential sponsored streamer.
And I want to add to this. I think the days of people subscribing, like paying to support their favorite creators, is numbered, right? I think while there will always be some kind of avenue that a creator can use to like revenue or make money off of their viewership, I think the direct to consumer, like, oh, hey, I'm subbing to you on Twitch. I'm giving you $5 to potentially say my name, not guaranteed say my name, right? And I get emotes unlocked. Like, that strategy, it's kind of dated. It's washed. It doesn't have the same value as something else. As, like, for example, apparel, right? Like, if somebody buys apparel from you, they have a shirt that they get to wear, and you as a creator make money. That's different.
I think that's interesting, but I don't agree with you. I think because the whole idea of someone like, you know, buying the subscription to you, right, in your perspective right now, it may feel like it's dated because maybe you don't see the value for the viewer. Maybe in your time right now, you don't see the value, but like someone else does. That recognition, that badge, like everyone perceives things differently. Like, I spend more money on digital goods recklessly than I do on tangible goods. So that's probably why I feel that way. And I say that as someone who is addicted to mobile games and buying skins and doing stupid stuff like that. I sink too many hours into games to get virtual things as opposed to like go make a real shirt or go buy those new sneakers, you know? So that's again, it's I think it's all perception. I just think your perception kind of skews it that way. But I genuinely feel like that revenue pipeline is not going anywhere. I think it's always going to be there, and it's going to be effective for a lot of people.
Yeah, and let me rebuttal that a little bit, because streaming, while viewership has gone down roughly, I would say probably 25% on the platform, subscribers have gone down considerably more.
We are in a recession.
But this has been a trend for over a year we necessarily weren't. So this is why I bring this stuff up, because again, we live in a world where as an individual, the idea of a process usually has a shelf life of a few years before it starts to seem outdated. And if it's not updated or treated in a certain way, you'll see people no longer be interested in it, right? And we had that big push in 2018, right? All of a sudden, Twitch as a platform blows up, gets incredible success. We start to see it go down a little bit in 2019, 2020 hits, COVID hits, goes through the roof again. But we're coming off the back of two huge bumps in the way that Twitch has worked, and Twitch as a platform has not changed the gamification behind subs and supporting your creator. So I don't, like, that's why I believe that this future that we're seeing right now, kind of unfold a little bit right now, is difficult for some creators to see coming. But that's why content, especially on platforms like long form content on YouTube, short form content on TikTok, monetizing your content outside of live streaming is going to be so important over the next 5 years.
No, I agree with you to a certain level. And I think it's almost because Twitch, remember, like, think about the culture, Twitch culture versus YouTube culture. Like, YouTube culture, they don't really donate and sub and, you know what I mean? Like, they kind of treat their creators differently based on the product they're creating. It's a different level of expectation, different level of connectivity to the audience. And let's be honest, Twitch has been the Twitch killer, right? Like literally has been their own worst enemy, because they have the superior product, but they are losing favoritism amongst the people that were, again, the backbone to the product. I mean, myself included, like, I was literally contemplating, like, do I want to go to TwitchCon this year? I got to wear a mask and, you know, people, like, I go because I like to see people and recognize them and get greeted and, you know, greet others and things like that. And there's just certain things I don't quite agree with at times, just in general. And, like, the direction and the fact they removed hosting from the platform, and they continue to tell us creators why they do these things. And the reasoning behind it, more often than not, is because they believe it's bad for you. Like, what makes you think I care about what you think is bad for me? Let me find out what's bad for me. I'll take your advice, but let me find out what's bad for me, because what's bad for you isn't always bad for me, right? And one of those things are, hey, we don't let you stream on multiple platforms because we believe it's bad for your viewers when they tune in. Who the hell asked you? Nobody, right? And, like, that's your best excuse? I would rather you just be more transparent. We don't let you do it because we don't care about those platforms and we don't want them to grow. We want to grow. I'd be much more okay with that than them telling me why I don't deserve a feature, or they take a feature, or I don't deserve to do what it is that I want to do. You know?
Twitch's product updates over the past couple of years have been more ads and
more ads.
We need more ads. And that's been, like, the product updates. It's been, okay, cool, streamers, you now have to run these ads or we're going to run them for you. And then it's been, oh yeah, we're going to take away hosting. Oh, actually, you don't get as much money for Twitch Prime. And it's like,
I was going to say, does anyone else feel like Twitch Prime, like the Twitch Prime, like Prime, that deal is going to end? Like, I feel like people think that's a forever thing, like it's a feature on the platform, but I think that's a dated, like, it has a shelf life on how long Amazon, the real Amazon, is going to have that marriage, because it's clear that the Twitch, the controversy around that product, to have it tied into their Amazon Prime and their Amazon brand, it's not a great one, right? Again, I'm just kind of shuffling ideas here, but I feel like, and it could just be an intuition here, but, like, I feel like Prime's going to go. And when it does, like, now what, right? That's the people really, 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 really leverage that. and kind of think it's a forever thing, but I don't feel like it's a forever thing.
Hot take, Twitch has a shelf life of 10 years max.
Before it fizzles out.
Mm-hmm.
10 more years from today? Kind from of vibe? Today. Okay.
From 2022. So in 2032, okay. Twitch will no longer exist.
Tune into episode 6,421 for the update, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll call it out, too, in 10 years if we're still doing this
calendar.
Podcast.
Set your calendar.
You better believe, right? But no, I've seen some trends, and I've heard from people behind the scenes at Twitch who have said that, again, they don't directly work for Twitch, but they're connected with Twitch, have said that Amazon is hemorrhaging money with Twitch.
My point.
And this has been something ongoing, and they don't have a clear path to fix that.
And whereas, I was just going to say, and let's not forget, their entire source code was leaked. So, like, hey, competitors, here's the ketchup sauce right here. You know, this is the source code. This is how we embed our videos and do XYZ, and this is how the platform's built. Like, their platform code was literally given away, and if that's not enough to get competitors at least baseline caught up, studied up to make a competitive product, I mean, come on, you don't think the people that made TikTok then read that thing and figured out, okay, this is what they do on the app, here's how we could do it better or something like that? Like, of course they did. Just look at the retention on TikTok. It's insane.
Well, and one thing they have to worry about, too, is if they try and paywall this, like, just look at what people did when they made ads have to be run. They freaked out. So if they try and paywall Twitch, like, why would I pay for, like, a subpar style of content if I could pay for, like, a Netflix for the same price? Yeah. And it gets scary when you think about Twitch does have a shelf life, and it's quickly expiring. That's something Ludwig talked about, the whole Ninja multi-stream, and he was like, yeah, that there is a shelf life, and this is not going to last too long. YouTube will probably last a lot longer, and Twitch currently has no way to fix itself. So it's a little scary if you're a Twitch streamer.
YouTube is going to be the king platform. It's a marathon, and my gosh, they got a big old tank. And they're still going. They haven't even really started YouTube gaming yet, and it's becoming more and more in the conversation because they're there. They've continued to remain relevant. They evolve with the times. You know, Instagram, Facebook's done a pretty poor job. You look at what they do with Instagram. People are not happy that the photos, the platform they subscribe to that they loved, Instagram as a home for photos, is just being transitioned to more of a video-based short form platform. So Instagram's in the race to capture short form and live stream content too, all that vertical content. So it is very, very crazy. Times are absolutely changing, and it's wild because year to year, like a year ago, we wouldn't be talking about, man, Twitch is shelf life, yada yada. But it's just like the thing Ninja just did and the stuff that happens with creators getting signed, these are steps in the right direction. These are inches to the mile, and we're starting to see more and more substantial versions of what could be, right? Because people are making moves, and we're seeing the players in the race start to close that gap. And that's what's crazy about it, that now you can almost visualize what that landscape's going to start to look like. It's starting to come together. So yeah, it's going to happen. And what are we going to do about it? Who knows where we're at? We'll find out, dude. Maybe I'll be on TV casting something else. I don't know.
Hey, let's go.
Oh, man. Anyways, it's been a long episode, guys. We had a lot to talk about. Before we go, I want to just touch on one more quick topic. I really wanted to end on this one because I love ending on just notes that can give people inspiration, food for thought, something to really digest. I know we gave you guys a lot to think about, but pro player Tahi had somewhat of a realization with himself. SBG, do you have the tweet open? Like for
Yashi,
you to go ahead like and read it? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Read us through that.
All right. So 33 Tahi, a pro, goes, I was so cringe almost a year ago. I feel like I matured and learned from my mistakes since being put in new situations for the first time. I have a lot of regret and wish I could go back and do things the right way in situations with people, but that's just life, I guess.
There you have it. Thank you, SBG, for running us through that. So, 33 Tahi, this is a professional Fortnite player in our game, in our space, the Fortnite space. He's on a part of Team 33, an esports organization here. So, this is kind of a interesting tweet to me, and I wanted to bring this up. And Panda brought it to our attention, you know, that it kind of came out. And what's interesting to me about this, one, he tweeted this at 5:30 a.m. So this dude was just having like a late night thought or early morning thought, however you want to think about it. But these gamers stay up all night. So I know he was probably just in his own mind and really reflecting with himself. And this is part of that growth that we constantly talk about, that the Fortnite space and the scene will continue to go through, right? These are players that were once very, very young, and now they're starting to become more and more young adults and grow into, of course, maturity, right? And learning about the actions maybe in the past that they could have done better. And one thing I'm always messaging and preaching about here on the podcast is there's going to come a time where you look back and you're going to wish you did so much better with all those viewers, that clout, that following, the platform, the voice and influence that you had in the space. And more often than not, it comes when it's too late. And this is kind of one of those moments where you see Tahi hitting a little bit of a reflection here, but it's not too late for someone like Tahi. He's very much still relevant in the space. And I think this is a cool moment here because he's one of the few that still has a platform and, you know, he's still building something special here.
And I think one important thing to recognize, especially for some of the younger listeners, is there's all things we regret. Everyone has regrets in their life. It's learning to accept what you've done and try and do better in the future. And that's kind of what I got from the Tahi post was, all right, I've screwed up in the past. I've seen that I've screwed up. I wish I didn't. It kind of stinks, but you know what? At least I recognize it at this point, and we're going to continue to move forward and get better. And that's something that comes with age as a young person. I definitely let regrets get to me a lot more, but you just got to learn to live with it. You can't change the past, but you can change the way you're going to react to things moving forward. And that's what I'll leave you guys with.
Yeah, listen, honestly, good on Tahi. Good on Tahi to come around to this realization. And hopefully more creators continue, more young pros in the Fortnite space continue to realize this. I think we see it usually through their actions more, not through necessarily their words specifically, like Tahi's example here. But that's that evolution, right? When you're young, even before maybe you necessarily have an audience or a viewership, whatever the case may be, you make these comments, you do things, you make mistakes, and you think it's because, you know what, no one will ever see it. It doesn't matter in that time. Well, guess what? In 5 years, that comment stays on the internet. And in 5 years, it could actually mean something. So always consider that before speaking out, doing things, especially stuff that will be on the internet forever.
That is right. So again, guys, I hope you all enjoyed this week's episode. We're leaving you with some food for thought. Grow up out there. Don't grow up too fast, all right? Keep playing video games. We accept those. Now, with that being said, I hope you all had a great time listening through a little hour plus banger. We've been dropping these longer episodes because we're just kicking it. I think the more and more we all get to become friends, we just start to elaborate. And I love it. I love where the podcast has been going. So don't forget to send all your complaints to me at thefortnitepodcast@gmail.com. It's your boy Monster D-Face at Monster D-Face across all socials. Y'all know where to find me. Panda, let the people at home know where they can find you throughout the week.
You already know LifeWPanda on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, Life with Panda on both Twitch and YouTube. Find me there, follow me there. TikTok live stream's going crazy. Appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure to be there if you aren't already. SVG, where can they find you?
Somebody's Gun Everywhere in the Fortnite Story Podcast. If you want to learn about people in the Fortnite space, just had a cool one earlier. Make sure to check that out later this week.
Sounds good, man. Thank you guys so very much for being a part of this episode. Thank you, listeners, for downloading this one, checking it out. We'll see you guys on the next episode of the Practice Makes Perfect podcast, which will be dropping soon. And then, of course, the follow-up for the Fortnite podcast. Hope you all enjoyed all of our coverage this week. And we'll see you guys on that battle bus. Don't forget to dance out those kills and boast in those victory royales. Peace, y'all.